Hey everybody, welcome Mr. Grandpa Bill, welcome to another Rip-A-Do episode. Super Seniors, Workouts for Geriatrics, Super Seniors because we are, aka Silver Streakers. But we have messages for all kids from 1 to 92. Grandpa Bill discusses all topics to promote good health and wealth, and all things regarding and protecting not only we seniors, but all citizenry of your street, my street, Main Street, Portland, Maine, Main Street, around the world. Topic of our discussion today when we get started. Goodwill ambassadors and of course you listeners are a major piece to our puzzle to continue to promote good health for all animals, their people, plants, and this planet. And it is with like-minded intuitives such as yourselves that we continue to unite, to continue to pay that message forward, that we all will continue to enhance and rejuvenation of all communities. Let's blow our minds as we all continue to grow. Now let's get to today's show and welcome one and all. Thank you for your continued support. We continue to grow exponentially with your help by paying it forward. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back in our special show here today, and something I've been meaning to get back to for quite a while that I haven't gotten to, part of this community advocacy program that I've been talking about actually for the better part of 50 years, but of recent note, the last 3 to 5 years, rejuvenating economies and communities, specifically my own, Portland, Maine, my hometown, but Main Street, Portland, Maine, Main Street USA, Main Street around the world, as we've all been detached, distracted, disjointed, malaligned, miscued, askewed from our own community, or what we might recollect communities being. So I'm going to revisit a book I've talked about, a couple of books actually, that I've talked about over the years many times and referenced many times. The first one being called Portland Undercover, How to Visit New England's Hippest City Without Looking Like a Tourist. This is reflecting the great state of Maine, always been predicated on vacation land, called as such. Tourism, how integral it is to the local community, the local waterfront here in Portland, the Old Port area, the history of Portland and Portland, Maine, which I'll also be talking about for probably 20 to 40 minutes in today's episode. Today's episode will probably exceed an hour or be in an hour neighborhood. So I'm going to start in by reading this segment of the show, Portland Undercover, How to Visit New England's Hippest City While Looking Like a Tourist. I'm going to start right in. This book was written, Portland Undercover, How to Visit New England's Hippest City Without Looking Like a Tourist, by Chris Barry. Signs, you're a tourist in Portland, Maine. You wear a funky pack, fanny pack. You actually speak to safari hat wearing downtown guides. You wear clothing adorned with cute lobsters and lighthouses. You ask the water. You ask the waiter or waitress to help tie a lobster bin around your neck. You wonder why all the fishermen park their boats in the same direction. Moored boats all point to the wind and tide. That's from a publication then called Casco Bay Weekly, Portland, Maine. The gentleman, Chris Barry, was actually a roving reporter. And that was a local entertainment guide that got into all different aspects of Portland, Maine. One of which in that was the entertainment, fine dining, world-renowned restaurants, the Old Port area, Portland, Maine, the history of. Chris Barry was a roving reporter for that, and that was his function, to go out and about and talk and write about articles on the local level of the community. So as you get through this book, being dated back at publication, back at tourism, and how integral it always has been to Maine, this book was actually written and released and copyrighted in the year 2000, so some 23 years ago, looking at tourism then through the eyes of this reporter with a very good sense of humor, Maine humor for sure. But it was fun to take a jab in a very comedic, friendly way while learning history of Portland, Maine at the same time. So the introduction of Portland Undercover, I'll read that here. Here's a few things you need to know about Portland, Maine. Quoting Chris Barry's book directly, Portland Undercover, How to Visit New England's Hippest City Without Looking Like a Tourist, back in the year 2000. Here's how a few things you need to know about Portland, Maine. Here are a few things. Portland has all the amenities of a major metropolis with the feel of a small town. Everything you need is located on an easily walkable 3.5 mile peninsula on the shores of Casco Bay, providing unforgettable views of islands and ocean. A vibrant and modern city with a booming economy in the year 2023 years ago. Portland's waterfront is beautifully gritty and busy with fishing boats, freighters, tankers, and cruise ships. The neighborhoods are diverse with intricate and historic architecture. I'm going to get to the historic architecture a little bit later in this show. We have dozens of great restaurants and bars. The arts and music scene is eclectic and hip. Politics, remember now, this is the year 2000, 23 years ago. The politics, verbatim, from the introduction of the book, are fairly progressive, and the weather is generally beautiful. Sure, we've got our problems, notably a shortage of low-income housing and a rising homeless population in the year 2023 years ago, but nothing like Boston or New York. Crime is low, with just a handful of murders in the year 2000 annually. And unlike most cities, we don't have a bad section of town to avoid in the year 2000. Some Mainers don't like visitors. Can you blame them? While merchants depend heavily on tourism, many locals resent the longer lines at stores and restaurants in the summer 20 years ago, 23 years ago, at the time of this book being authored. Parking gets harder to find, and the sandy beaches fill with out-of-staters. But don't let that stop you from visiting our fair city. As long as you have a copy of Portland Undercover hidden in a newspaper, no one will know you are from away. Thus the humor of tourism 23 years ago when the book was authored. You need the guide because our peninsula is blessed with a refreshing shortage of franchise restaurants and stores 23 years ago. Here, you're faced with an unusual dilemma in modern American times. How to survive in a city filled with owner-operated shops and eateries. After reading Portland Undercover, you'll learn where to dine, drink, and explore without looking like a tourist. Unless, of course, you're too lazy to walk. Then we'll spot your foreign license plates and your cover is blown. That's the main humor. So alive and well today, but that is the introduction to Portland Undercover, how to visit New England's hippest city without looking like a tourist. Other chapters, commencing with the first one, I'll go through the titles of them. I'll read them in depth in upcoming episodes as we're here daily. I'm going to start doing more of these main moments. First chapter is called Why You Should Visit Portland, Maine. We'll get into that in an upcoming show. We have people. We have Four Seasons 23 years ago. We have Great Sidewalks 23 years ago. Why Listen to Me, as he alludes to that in the first chapter. The second chapter is in an alternative history, which is very rich in Maine and Portland. Cheaters and Wretchers within Portland history and Maine history. Legends on the Land and Water. The fourth time is a charge. Gets into the histrionics. The third chapter is accommodations in the greater Portland, Maine area as far as tourism 23 years ago. The fourth chapter is the fine eateries, food dining, world famous 23 years ago. The fifth chapter, the world famous Old Portland, Old Port area. And then going through the book, chapter 6, which we'll also get into. Hometown flavor and building the community. Coming through the book quickly here. On the waterfront itself, the entire chapter 6 is engrossed in that. Then what would they call the going downtown back 23 years ago, which is actually uptown, if you will, in chapter 7. And then progressing through chapter 8. The Great Outdoors with many famous landmarks in the greater Portland, Maine area. The Lighthouse, just for one, Portland Headlight, many lakes. Profound Rockbound Coast. He gets into that in a whole chapter in chapter 8, which we'll recanter and revisit on how to build communities. Having spent 7 decades in Portland, Maine, I'll be interjecting and reflecting how to get lucky in Portland, Maine. Yep, that connotation of get lucky. Chapter 10, Cultural Endeavors in Portland, Maine. And it's a very humorous look at tourism. In chapter 11, he entitles Where To Next, and we'll be referring to Portland Undercover. Here's some of the then reviews. Everything you ever wanted to know about Portland and some things you probably shouldn't. That's Herb Adams, a local Portland politician and a very renowned Maine historian himself. Here's another review. Chris Berry has revealed all of Portland's secrets, disclosed the places tourists usually don't find, and exposed the curiosities of the city's fury, underbelly, and things that were hereto known only to us locals. Another local columnist, Elizabeth Peavy, and Ben Viviant, and Bon Viviant, columnist for another publication at that time. At that time, upon release, Maine's newest guidebook is an irreverent but straight-shooting guide to the Casco Bay area. Author-reporter Chris Berry, ex-Coast Guardman and lobster fisherman, pulls no punches in directing vacationers through his favorite haunts, although his book boasts a traditional format with maps, walking tours, and listings for nearly 100 eateries, local accommodations, and shops. Barry also offers many quirky extras. Quick, at the time, Chris Berry worked undercover with his mother, complaining he couldn't keep a job. He served in the U.S. Coast Guard, labored on a lobster boat for 2 years out of Matinicus, a remote Maine island. He tended bar, sold health food. He had written advertising copy and worked as a newspaper reporter. Then he was writing poetry about drunken sailors. He lived in Portland with photographer Shoshana White and their dog Mabel. Much more about Chris Berry, then the author, in the Casco Bay Weekly in his book, Portland Undercover, How to Visit New England's Hippest City Without Looking Like a Tourist. We'll take a 10-second break. I'll come back and start to talk a little bit more about the great history of the architecture in my community, Portland, Maine. Then we'll take a 10-second break. Okay, welcome back after the break, and thanks for being here. Let's continue talking about another great Maine subject in the history of Portland, Maine, looking at another aspect and element that we're rich in, and that's architectural history. In another book that I've been talking about for probably the last 4 years at least is entitled Then and Now, Portland, by the author John Moon, and going through a passage or two of it here now, Then and Now, Portland, Maine. I also have the video dissertation of this on my Spotify channel. Opposite the 1950 view of Monument Square, which is in the cover of the book, is looking west on what is Congress Street here in Portland, with two skyscrapers, the Fidelity Building of 1910 and the Chapman Building of 1924. Of course, local history, meaning more to we Mainers, pertinent to this, continuing verbatim. Preble Street coming up between them. Portland's population reached its peak in 1950 when it grew to 77,000 people, due largely to more than 30,000 jobs created in the shipyards during World War II. So in many ways, the image that's within the book captures Portland at its zenith. Today, the population has stabilized at around 65,000. In an 1881, historian Edward Ewell had the following to say about this part of the city. Market, now Monument Square, It's to Portland what the Forum was to the ancient Roman cities, a center of business and a scene of popular gatherings, surrounded with stores, hotels, public halls, and places of amusement. We know of no other city where from the very center of its business streets one may look out upon such beautiful views of land and water as may be seen from the heart of our city. Stand at the hour of sunset at the head of Preble Street and look out over the waters of Back Cove, reflecting the hues of the sunset sky upon the green fields and tree-crowned summits of Deering, and tell us if anything can be finer. The same sentiment applies today, courtesy of the Maine Historical Society here on a local level. The contents of the book: Downtown and Bayside, Munjoy Hill in the East End, two very famous parts of the city, the Old Port and the waterfront, which I alluded to earlier, the West End in Deering, the West End where I grew up, mostly predominantly, streetscapes, and the day trips around Portland, breaking down the architectural history with them. But some of the acknowledgments, meaning more to those of us here on a local level, I'll bypass that for a moment and go right to what would be pictorially, when you have the book to do so. And again, I have done a dissertation over at my Spotify and my YouTube channel. I'll do some more. Chapter 1, Downtown in Bayside, Portland, Maine. This 1879 view of Market Square in the book shows the old market house, which was constructed in 1825, but modified in 1832 into Portland's first city hall by Charles Quincy Clapp. The old city hall was torn down in 1888 to make room for the soldiers in Sailor's Monument in 1891, which stands at the center of Monument Square. That picture was also courtesy of the Maine Historic Preservation Commission. Maine Historical Society here on the local level does a tremendous job of old photos, history. Continuing in the book, in this view of Congress Street, from 1885, the white building is the beautiful Matthew Cobb Mansion, which it is beautiful. It's now housing the art museum on a local level. In the architecture, Alexander Paris, describing its appearance, historian William Gould noted its unsullied white front with no sign of joint or seam gave it the appearance of being cut from an immense block of white marble, leaving the carved ornaments standing out in relief. Since 1880, it has been the site of the Portland Museum of Art, world famous. Other historical pictures within that chapter shows a view of the H.J. Libby home at the northwest corner of High Street and Congress Street around 1925. And the Italianate double house of 1852 to 1853 was designed by Charles A. Alexander and was known for its elaborately painted wall decorations. It was demolished in 1929 to make way for the State Building, which still exists today. The State Building provides retail and office space and contains the State Theater, the last of the pre-World War II cinemas left in downtown Portland. It goes on to talk about, by 1920, the automobiles, showing the early onset of the trolley cars and automobiles here on a local level in Portland, Maine. Congress Square Hotel, other famous landmarks, rich architecture. Lots of then and now looks, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's home, John Ford, movie producer, statue of him, his area where he grew up here in Portland, Maine. as the book goes on, it gets into the history of the Greater Portland Maine Flyers over the history. This plays back. I'll be reading more chapters moving forward from both of those books. This plays to my posterity, my legacy, what I've been talking about for sure for the last 15 and a half years as it pertains to my granddaughter, Ada, the businesses, past tense, that I named for her heritage, Portland, Maine, what in her short 15 and a half years, especially the last three, having to witness the transformation, certainly not knowing the richness of the history of this old fool that's had 7 decades to indoctrinate her to it with her dad's help and walking tours, and they go out and about. She has a great appreciation for history, veterans. She's a pretty talented writer. She's been rewarded and awarded as an up-and-coming writer at an early age. This is about local communities, rejuvenating communities. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. We've talked a lot about that. Businesses, back when I was a kid, regional neighborhoods, areas, sections of the different nationalities, well represented, the Irish population, Italian, French, many districts within the city, predominantly the communities, talking about how shop proprietors, as you went into shop A, shop B, they would tell you about shop B. I think I gave the example of a bakery and a butcher shop, which was quite true. And then as you went into the butcher shop, they would tell you about the specials at the bakery, as well as exchanging, of course, their own wares. And then how, when they closed shop after a long, hard day of working hard for their families and building the community arm in arm, we'd go out in kibitz, play cards, be known at the local churches, dance, become good friends. It's a great city. Not so much as we speak, as most cities. This is about preserving, rejuvenating, appreciating, rebuilding, paying it forward, especially for those that have to continue moving forward, whether they reside here or move on, protecting and being proud of where they came from, what it stands for, and what it can and should stand for moving forward. We'll take another 10 second break. We'll come back. We'll do about another 20 minutes or so, continuing to talking about this movement of communal support on a local, national, regional, and worldwide approach. My Main Street, your Main Street, our Main Street, your neighborhood, my neighborhood, your community, our community, intuitive groups that again can continue to play to the theme of the overall theme of this show, food for the mind, the body, and the soul. And how the citizenry and those that come to the three different factions of my shows, those intuitives that do want to go deeper, that do want to do it together, mindfully, we're going to talk about that main element. As well. We'll take a 10 second break and we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks for being with us. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the show today. And I want to extend the arm of Goodwill Ambassadorship, asking your help in our mission to do so. We invite you to leave us a review by asking and telling us what you like about the show, the guests we've had, what you've heard, what you're experiencing. Of course, interacting in our interactive polls and questions by leaving us a message and all inquiries at the message board at the Anchor Radio Show. Message board. Explain the reasons why you are leaving a rating in a review that helps us on the show. For example, it's useful because we appreciate the direct feedback both in the social media here at the messages of the message from the message board of the shows, plural, and it helps myself and my listeners discover together how we can establish an engaged audience which can attract new listeners from the multiple audiences through the intuitive groups that we're now becoming extensively in numbers, growing communally, plus through the podcasts and their networks and then the multi-generational participants of guests that I've had on the shows now. It's truly kids from 1 to 92, and that helps spread the networks of their messages, my messages, our messages collectively. So what they like about the show, what you've heard, the episode that have indeed made you a regular listener. We're increasing in our listenership. Thank you for that. Our favorite guests, your favorite guests that you may have heard on the episode. It's a free way to support our show, and it is by leaving us a 5-star rating, if applicable, and you feel it's justifiable. It does indeed help us on the reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the shows where I'm heard on all platforms, and by subscribing to all of those channels as well as my YouTube channel. It's a chance to tell myself and collectively the intuitives within the group what you love about the show and what helps others discover it as well at the same time. Longtime listeners, this week we're asking you to head over to Apple for sure and leave us a review telling us about your favorite episode, episodes plural, and we'll take a look continually and share the fan favorites the next week, perhaps on air. And we can let the audience know that they can easily leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And you can hear my cats helping cheering me on and soliciting your help as well. That's my cat Brady and Brody getting ready for their breakfast here in just a few short moments at the time of this taping. So they encourage you to help us out as well, and we appreciate your support. So by scrolling down on the Apple page specifically, when you get there, Spotify as well, YouTube, please subscribe. Selecting the star rating and tapping write a review. The reviews are made available shortly after they are posted, and then the listeners and myself, you as the listeners, can leave one review per episode, episodes plural. We're here daily, and then we get to exchange both with myself, my guests, their audiences, and so forth, and really fine-tune the show moving forward and helping it be the reciprocity factor, yours, mine, and ours. So we appreciate your support, and let's get back to the show. We'll be right back. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about two of my good friends, Beta Austin and Seth Brzezinski. I want to talk about Seth's fairly recent, newest Coherence Meditation live event each Tuesday over at freedomsnap.org/Seth. When you get there to do so, you can sign up for being a member of the group, the Water Consciousness Movement, and there's instructions for joining live events each week on Tuesdays as they occur. The next live event will actually be held on Tuesday, May 16th, 2023 at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can add it to your calendar by going to freedomsnap.org/Seth. You can click there to learn about a gold and silver opportunity if you choose to do so. And you can click there to join in using Zoom, preferable portal of entrance. And it's also featured on YouTube each and every Tuesday. And there's all the numbers that you would need to dial and join in for the Zoom and so forth at freedomsnap.org/Seth. And the most recent Tuesday passed, it was a great pleasure once again for me to see my friend Veda Austin be doing a joint webinar, the first one in a while, with Seth. They've done many. And of course, Veda Austin, the secret intelligence of water. She's a great ambassador, intuitive, amazing work with crystallography with the water. These are the things I want to pass on, and the people that I would love to have be an influence and guidance in my granddaughter's life. Ada, moving forward. Intuitives and intuitive groups that they're at the helm, singularly and collectively together, Beta, Seth, and many, many intuitives within the water consciousness movement, as well as the other peripheral groups as they come in, those theirs and ours, like-minded individuals. That's how what we want to get together and what I want to see for my legacy moving forward. Insightful people, mindful people, insightful in a community of mindfulness. Always playing to our theme of food for the mind, body, and the soul. What will happen in your life moving forward? But if you don't start now, where do you see yourself? What do you think will happen next year? Do you think your routine day to day will be the same as it is now and has been? You don't have to make a decision. Instead, you can make a decision to start to understand and keep your present and presence. Know what you might be thinking, what your daily routine is. We keep living the same way. Do you think of what might be best for you and your legacy? What's your game plan? Social, emotional learning, especially for Gen Zers, teens, young adults, those born from 1997 to, what was it, 2017, I believe. And then families and adults all over the world, kids from 1 to 92. Your main street, my main street, our main street. Loneliness seeps in. That's how, by being with mindful and compassionate, focused therapy groups and intuitives, it helps with those that are suffering PTSD, depression, decluttering your life, mindfulness, and how to organize your life. Clear your clutter within you and without you, within your community. Don't get stuck in stagnant energy or complacency. These folks will continue to share some of the mindfulness practices that have helped us collectively find peace in our life and ways to inject more purpose and meaning into our daily experiences. I'm eager to continue to be the conduit of putting you in touch with intuitives and intuitive groups like this. And what I've learned from my 50-year journey, 50-plus-year journey, you can make a decision. You can make many decisions. You can make a decision to start today. You can make a decision not to start today. You can keep your life exactly as it is right now. Very soon, I'm going to be continuing to incorporate live streams on my Facebook page on the internet, coinciding with my podcast shows, especially as I welcome more and more guests. Already have 56 interviews completed this year. Have another 86 scheduled or booked going into November. So, how do we become more intuitive and gain greater access to our spiritual selves and our spiritual team? In our mentor moments, both for life and business, another faction of my show is plural, a concept that I use to refer to the ability of an individual or business to exert influence within the community. Why that's so valuable of a product to establish within yourselves, and especially with public thought leaders, not only in business and within industry, but more so, and much more so, within life, with broadened horizons. Learning how to be an effective internal and external, in the case of business, product advocate. In the case of life, a self-advocate of self-love. The many important roles of learning, knowing, communicating, championing. We often forget how vital it is to not only champion products and business, but champion life internally as well, across the entire community, regionally, locally, nationally, around the world. Advocates are said to have useful ways to help increase visibility and establish meaningful connectiveness to community, to each other, in life and in business. Brand advocates in business are consistently discovering ways to increase that visibility and then establish a meaningful connection. The balance in community is to do it with love and compassion, unity, calmness, repose. Anyone with a positive view of life and business can be an advocate both in life and with the brands of business, including in business, a company's employees, business partners, and then in life as well, influencers. it's common to promote and advocate for a cause or a brand or both. You believe in what they're based on. In business, the brand's name, the quality, customer care, such as examples for customer service. Similarly, in life, of someone continually posting, advocating, blogging, podcasting, all of the above, on how much they enjoy working with and for others through empathy and communal, it can build trust, not only in life, in community, in neighborhoods, for sure in business. It's how you earn trust in business. It's how we gain, earn, and practice trust in life. Anyone with a positive view is important because it allows us to grow naturally. Life and in business, advocacy can build trust and long-lasting bonds with customers, neighborhoods, communities, friends, allies. It does take a village. It's not that she was out of temper, but that the world was not equal to the demands of her fine organism. George Eliot, 1819 to 1880. Whether you are new, young, or a veteran, as in a veteran of foreign wars, a veteran of life, seniors, kids from 1 to 92. River Bill continues to model in life, now very much retired in business, but continuing in business in a different capacity and part-time, blending the two. It's remarkable but oftentimes misunderstood about revisiting why and how the body can and will and does heal itself as far as health. To precipitate wealth, to be able to be healthy enough to continue through intuitive, massive numbers of people assimilating that are the turnkey individuals at this pivotal time in the precipice of where we're at. Watching the Western financial system collapse around us, people see it every day. Bank failures, food inflation, collapsing credit. The Fed just raised interest rates another 25 basis points and declared the need to keep contracting credit across the country. The commercial real estate market is going to fall off. So there's going to have to be ways to survive in life through food and water for sustenance, but food for the mind, the body, and the soul. To survive the implosion of the Western financial system alone, you are gonna have to be Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. And you may literally have to jump over the candlestick. Things you need to set up right now in order to have the full spectrum of options available to you, both as financial protection, life protection, and the journey to know from where we truly came, who we truly are, heart-brain connection, mindfulness, serenity, calm. Want to learn more? You want to exchange? You want to help me in the mission? You want to join our advocacy programs? If you're interested in the a la carte program as it pertains to direct to the manufacturer, listen into my shows, the guests, interact. Who do you like? What do you like? What have you heard? Interact with our polls, our questions, our surveys. Pay it forward. Let's pay it forward together. We're changing mindsets, old foibles, old broken down systems. Everybody knows somebody in discomfort, grief, agony, pain, highly inefficacious medications, pets, animals, communities, inflation, the integrity of soil, water, air, food, clean air, clean water, the games people play, Joe Cell, every night and every day now. Never meaning what they say, never saying what they mean. Read between the lines and read between the signs. Signs everywhere, sign. Talking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't read the signs. We're gonna be talking a lot about legacy. We're gonna be talking about your main street, our main streets. Main Street Portland, Maine, Main Street USA, Main Street around the world. That's our show for today. We're here each and every day. If you have an interest in any of the factions, once again, interact at my message board at Anchor Radio. If you're experiencing any of the subjects we talk about at the shows with my guests, their audiences, our audiences, these networks, these groups, join us. It's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Continue to pay it forward, my goodwill ambassadors, word of mouth and where applicable, developing teams, be it on the passive and residual income, gold, silver, precious metals, also health and wellness, CTFO, changing the future outcome, 7K metals. Those of you that are here ubiquitously, please continue to come back. Hopefully we're perceived as a harbinger of good information, and myself simply as the conduit, the ticker tape, ticker taker, and the movie theater, showing you what's in the cinemas. Be talking a lot more about that in upcoming shows. We're here daily. We continue to grow with your support, continue to pay it forward. We appreciate it. Do subscribe to my YouTube channels, my shows. Help us pay it forward. Reciprocity is another key element in how we do this all together. We'll continue to talk about it tomorrow. Make it a safe and productive day. Bye-bye for now. And may God bless. Peace, everybody.